Blog Talk Radio.
I'm gonna break out of
Romans 8:1-6. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I'd like to thank you for another perfect day. I will pray that you will continue to open our hearts and our minds to the word, that we take it, we believe it, we stand on it, we walk on it, and that we don't waver in any shape, form, or fashion, whether it's good times or bad times, and especially through the bad times, that's when our faith is most important. That's when we have to be the strongest. I pray for those who are sick, for those who are struggling, those ask us to remember them in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for those who need to be delivered from anything and protection. I pray for those who are bereaved and for those who are shut in, and for also, most of all, I pray for those who are not in their right mind. I pray for both our pastors. I pray that God will continue to touch them from the top of their head to the bottom of their toe with anointing and awareness and consciousness of the Holy Spirit, that they will let them in at all costs to deliver what they need to deliver to those who need to learn and accept the Holy Spirit. I pray all this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. We thank you so much for that prayer, Evangelist Karen. Listen, brother and sister, we're talking about the true and living way. This is the right path. And this right path that God have laid out for us, we are to walk in it. We're to live in it. This new and living way. And one of the things we said the other day, and I might probably need to go what happened on yesterday. Listen, brothers and sisters, this is real important because this is one of the greatest miracles you've ever experienced in your life, if you've experienced it. Now, if you haven't, I understand. But talk about in your spirit, man, in your heart. This is one of the greatest miracles you could ever experience. It's 2 Corinthians 5:21. And it's how God made us right. You're right. You are the righteousness of God. I don't care what you've been told, how much. She just read the scripture a moment ago. Therefore, now, right now, is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And because you walk after the Spirit of God, God doesn't see you condemned. Because when he sees you in Christ. Now, so 2 Corinthians 5:21, our standard with God is on the ground of our faith in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And you want to get it in a moment because over there in Ephesians 2 and 10, see, God did this. He acquired this for us. We didn't have to do nothing but trust him, have faith in him. How we know this is to understand 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him to be sin on our behalf, a substitute. He became our substitute. And I said this and the other day, somebody asked me, he said, well, that ain't in the Bible. I understand it's not in the Bible. But if you understand this text, you'll see that a person or a thing takes the place of another. That's what a substitute is. God made Jesus to be our substitute. He made him to be your sin. Now, with that being said, understand the total total situation here. Understand the total thing. And I don't apologize for what I said the other day because it's true. God made Jesus Christ, and it was already done before the foundation of the world. He already made him to be our substitute, our backup. He designated him to be our hitter. In other words, if this one can't go, you're going to be the substitute. You're going to go in there and hit. It's sort of like basketball. You know, you have a substitute. They'll blow somebody, get hurt. Somebody got to go in and be their substitute. So if it's a guard, for instance, and we're going to get into the scriptures in a moment, but if it's a guard that plays the guard position, they don't send a center in to be the guard. They don't do that. That's not an adequate substitute. You need a guard, somebody who can go up and down the field and make plays and call all that, and you don't have to know a whole lot about sport. The point I want to make here is it's your substitute. You had substitute teachers. You can't say, oh, that teacher is not. No, but here's the thing. It's your replacement. It's been in reserve so you can still learn. Because a substitute is someone who stand in or take the place of. See? Yes. So when Jesus took your place in singing. Now, let's look at the other side of that coin. You get his righteousness. Woo, hallelujah. Take his righteousness just like he took your sin. Make it real. See? Y'all ain't heard that. I know you ain't heard that yet. See, because we ain't been taught that the church don't teach you that you are the righteousness of God. They want to be busy trying to condemn you. You're the righteousness of God because of your faith. You know you can't beat up sin, but Christ did it for you. He became your substitute. He took care of the job. Now, since he took that part, how about you taking your part? So you'll understand 1 John 4:4, it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm not trying to make anybody believe anything. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. And there again, he is our substitute. God made him to be sin. Get that in your head. I didn't see that in the Bible. Well, look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. That's what God did. He did that. He did that. I didn't do that. He did that. And he said that. So don't get on me because I read the scripture and you finally heard something you hadn't been hearing. That's the problem. You heard something you hadn't been hearing. Yeah, that's who you are. You're the righteousness of God. But that's what you are. And I'm not taking it back.
Hallelujah.
So the first thing we want to get, just be clear. I just want to be clear with everybody. This is that new and living way. See, the old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is new. This is something new. This new way of living, this new life, that don't judge you based on what you do, but based on your faith in Christ. You can't forget sin for a moment, if you will, because sin is on Christ now. If you'll accept that, I mean, I'm not trying to make you believe that, but that's what God said. He said, my son, he died for it. He paid that bill. He paid the sin bill. Now he's giving you his righteousness. But the only way you can get it is you have to receive it. So in 1 John, he said, as many as receive him, to them he gave the power. So if you don't have that power to become the sons of God, which really the power is in the word of God, so if you hadn't received that, then that's on you. But it doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change what God did with the man Christ Jesus, because that's another thing too, brothers. You got to believe in the word of God, okay? And I like to go, if you will, right quick. Let's see, the Lord had gave me that. I think it was over there in, because the word of God has to become lordship over your spirit, man. Can I say that one more time? Yeah. See, the word of God has to become Lord. Lord. Yeah. The word of God becomes lordship. Mm-hmm. And when he does that, then you don't believe in the man. You believe in God's word. Your faith is not predicated on the man in the pulpit or the woman or somebody on the street. Well, that goes. Your faith is resting. Your belief is resting in the word of God. Because that's what we're talking about, believing in the substitutionary work that God did. That's what we're talking about. Believing in it, acting on it, trusting it, relying on it. Well, not only you going to know if it's true or not, you're going to have to get out there and act on it. I ain't living by no law. The law condemned me. It killed me. I died. That's what Romans 7 says. See, I died. But now, bless God, I'm alive. But you know what made me alive? Being in the word of God. So therefore, now is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And you're not condemned because you're in Christ. You're not living by the law.
Amen.
And I challenge anybody out there, if you live by the law, if you break one, you done broke them all. Okay. Now, get back to the point that the lordship, there is no sense of appreciation for the lordship of the word of God, of its authority on the believer's lips or on his ability through the word to stir men and women to real action. I want this word to become a reality. So if one lacks the sense of lordship of the word, they will never be able to use it. It doesn't matter how intelligent they are. They know they are the righteousness of God. The matter. Mm-hmm. They have the ability of God. Because, see, here's what's happening. They don't know their legal right. They don't know their legal right. That's your right. That's your right to act like Christ.
Amen.
Can I say that one more time? That's your right to act like Christ. Remember we was in Philippians 2? We're gonna start back there since we kind of like left off there, but let's go to Philippians 2, and I think we read 1 through 5. We're going to pick up that. And, oh, by the way, we're probably going to go over a little bit, so y'all bear with us. But let's pick that up because he does not recognize the lordship. A person that's not really into the word of God, they're not allowing the lordship of the word to be first place. There is no fearless confession of what he is in Christ. See, you got to be fearless with this thing, man. You can't be talking about, no, you got to stand your ground, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
that always acknowledge that you are in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So you have to acknowledge that. You have to acknowledge that you're the righteousness of God. And I don't care what sin says. I don't care what your mind says. I don't care what your preacher says. Listen to the word of God. And let the word of God dictate what you think and what you feel. Not man. Because, see, man can get it misconstrued. Because I have done that before. I'm being honest with you. I've been down that road. I thought if you wasn't a Baptist, you'd go to hell. Then I got into a holiness denomination. I thought if you wasn't in holiness, you was going to hell. Then I went to non-denomination. I went to Seventh-day Adventist. I went to practically all of them. But I saw enough that I said, enough, Lord, what I need to do. He said, I want you to start living in me. I said, well, how can I do that, Lord? Because y'all so busy wanting to go to church and stuff. The Lord said, wait a minute. Just take a moment and live in me. I said, how do I do that? So he says, if you'll abide in my word, which is me, he said, now I'll start living in you. And you won't need no. He said, you tell everybody that this message will work for them too. That if they'll live in that word, everything and the word of God become lordship over their life. And they began to practice the righteousness and forget about what they're talking. He says, I'll live with them. I'll make residence. I'll come and move right in. I'll move, and it won't be two men down the truck. He said, I'll move everything in.
Come on now. Say it. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So get out of bondage. See, as long as the word of God is not, and I'm serious when I tell you this, as long as the word of God is not lordship, brothers and sisters, you're in bondage. Because you're turning to your sense realm. You're turning to what you see and what you feel. Don't get away from that bondage. That's a bondage. They won't admit to it, but it is.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Stop trying to get the assurance from your physical. Stop trying to get that assurance you think you need from somebody else. Let God talk to you. Let him show you that you are the righteousness of God. Do not ignore this.
Hallelujah.
Most people ignore their faith in Christ. Stop it, I say. Stop ignoring who you are in Christ. And I don't care what you did last night. Don't care what you did last week. Your faith needs to be in Christ, that everything you were or are, God took it away so you could become a new creature. He did that.
Hallelujah.
And he wants you to operate in that. Remember, everything you are, Christ took that. So you get to have everything Christ is. And I'm going to show you that in a minute. In Philippians, if you will, Evangelist Sharon, Philippians 2:1-5, please.
It reads as follows. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any vows and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, that this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And good afternoon, everyone. From the Message Bible, if you got anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. Amen.
Amen. Listen, brothers and sisters, have that same attitude that Christ had. Christ didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God. God gave him that. He gave him that. Just like he gave us the ability to have the mind of Christ. So don't think, you know, you are taking anything from Christ because you're saying, hey, I got the mind of Christ. No, God gave you that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He took your sin and he gave you Christ. He took that sinful mind and gave you Christ. Now, hello, somebody. Preach. I'm trying to do the best I can. I want you to hear it, brother. Please. Get it.
Yes. 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 Amen.
Yeah. You have to allow this mind to be in you. This is part of the substitute. He gave you Christ's mind, so use it. That's what a substitute does. You called in a substitute teacher. They ain't finna come up there. Miss Smith, she taught like, hey, okay, that's fine, that's Miss Smith. But here's what I'm finna do, hon. And sometimes they'll go along with the same, you know, thing. But let me tell you what. If you call in a substitute nurse, she may wear scrubs. The other one may not. She may come in her beautiful clothes and with a coat on. Don't be looking at the outward. Look at the inward. See, that's where you get an error. You're trying to look at the outward stuff. No, look at the spirit. Don't look at the outward.
Jesus
didn't thought it was a big thing. He didn't thought it was anything because he was telling these folks he was the Son of God. They crucified that man for that. How you going to talk about you're the Son of God like you're better than everyone else? Take him to the cross. Hang him. Strip him. Naked. Beat him. 39 times. Put it on him. He ain't going to suffer and talk that he's a God and he's God's only Son. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now, because you start telling folks you're the righteousness of God, and I'll probably show you that for the week, so you start telling people you're the righteousness of God, and I'll tell you what the consequences are going to be. First of all, they're going to always remember your past. That's number one. Number two, they probably going to remember what you are. If they know you real good, they're going to start throwing stuff your way, what you're doing right now, because it doesn't meet their eye test.
Have mercy.
Can I say that one more time? You know, a lot of us folks want us to meet their eye test.
Yes. Have mercy. You know?
See, because they're living by the optical nerve, and you're not. You're living by the word of God. You're living by the spirit of God. And because you're living that way, you know, you don't necessarily meet all their expectation because the eyes. So they don't acknowledge the spirit of God. They only recognize what the eyes say. Rather than recognizing the lordship, that, hey, man, you got the love of God living in you. You got the word of God living in you. That you are acting by human powers alone. That's what they see. They don't know how to ignore that and see that you are in Christ. Even in a time of crisis, they want eye service so they can give you lip service.
Yeah. Have mercy.
Yeah. And you can tell them because they always want folks to pray for them. No, pray for yourself. Talk to them. Go to him. You're a priest now. You got the right to go to the high priest. Before, in the Old Testament, if you recall, the person went to the priest. And then the priest decided, okay, I'm going to give your offering to the high priest. Hey, brother, sister, another man been knocked out, now he's been locked out, knocked out, done, doomed with. You got the right to go to Christ on your own. Yes, sir. And not only that, you keep going, and he'll start living right on the inside of you. Remember that's what the scripture says?
Thank you, Father.
Yeah, that's what's going to start happening. He'll start living on the inside of you.
Thank you.
When you make the lordship of the Word of God. That's what has to happen, brothers. And stop limiting Christ in you. In Ephesians 2 and 10, I just love this scripture because it's how God did this. That's so amazing to me. It's how he put you to sleep on an anesthesia that you didn't even know about. Or anesthetic. Mm-hmm. How you say that? How you say that? When they put you to sleep, what is that called?
Anesthesia.
Mm-hmm. And you said it right.
You said it like that.
Thank you. And you get knocked out. And when you know anything, they done pull that too. Boy, I tell you, you feel so much better.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm.
That, that's for those that have experienced it. You never experienced it, but then you may not understand. But they do all that stuff, and you're unaware of it. That's what happens
that's right.
when the Word of God get in you. God began to change you and make you.
Yes.
Yeah. Over in Ephesians 2 and 10. Okay.
It reads as follows. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And from the Message Bible, God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. See, we need to be doing what God has called us to do, brothers and sisters. But you got to understand what all happened, how he abolished everything in his flesh, how he took it over. When he said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. All Christ did is present his blood to the Father. And then the Father began to do his work. And the Bible says, you who he were dead, here's what he did. He quickened you. He brought you back alive. Yeah, he brought you back alive.
Thank
Remember
you.
In time past, we was walking to the course of this world. We was worldly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our conversation was worldly. What we was lusting after. We were lusting after, looking good, going in the building, doing this, doing that, trying to impress other folks. That was that flesh in mind. That's what we had. Not knowing that we was children of the wrath. But we was one step. And God, what'd you say, zooped in, got up in our spirit, man, because we believed in the word. Now, that's how this happened, too. Please believe this. It's only going to happen because you're believing in the word of God. So even when you were in sin, he called you to come alive together with Christ.
Yeah.
How did he do this? He did it by his blood. The law said one thing. Jesus started waving his blood. I don't care what the law say. He started using his blood power. You know Christ has blood power. We all know that, huh? You know Christ got blood power. You know that blood power works every time, brothers and sisters. So he raised us up together, and he calls us to sit with Christ. Christ Jesus. What the Bible say? I didn't say this stuff. I just ain't made up, man. What the Bible says, he did this stuff to you. He did this to me.
Thank
See, you have no clue of his greatness. Oh, God is so awesome.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, he rocked us right to sleep with that anesthesia. And when we knew anything, verse 10 became a reality. For we are his workmanship. He created us in Christ Jesus. He took the flesh away.
Yeah.
And then he created us for a good work. Well, what is this good work? We'll talk about it one day. But this good work is to tell other people and bring them into the fold and get them to serve a true living God. God ordained this kind of stuff. This is what we should be doing. Men in broken hearts, setting the captives free, putting everybody in the same spirit. instead of, oh, you be in my church and you go to my church and we're saying this and we're saying that. All that old Satan stuff. Get away from it. Practicing uncircumcision. And they forgot that that's just flesh. What about the spirit? But anyway. I'm thankful for everyone. I know we ran over a little bit, but there was a couple of things I wanted you to know. And let me take one other little thing for those that stay with us. I'm gonna give you a nugget, a real nugget. The Bible tells us that the fruit. Now you gotta hear this, but it's only for believers. But let me go to that so you'll know it's only for believers. In John 14 and 12. Read that first, and then I'm going to share something with you guys.
Okay. John 14 and 12 reads as follows. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. I go unto my Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. From the Message Bible. If you can't believe that, believe what you see. These words. The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I am on my way to the Father. I'm giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. Amen.
Yeah. See, this over in 1 John 4:4, where it talks about greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. But he says first, he says this, ye are God's little children. You just like God. You just like God. Who made you like God? You took on God's nature. So when he says, greater is he that is in you, who's in you? Christ is in you, which is the hope of glory. Now, here's the other part of this nugget I'm going to give you. Because Christ is so rich. God is so rich. So when he deposits that faith to operate like Christ, which we shouldn't take it as being robbery or taking anything from Christ, it's not. Some people want to say, oh, you can't be like, yes, you can. God made it like that. They don't see it because they're not in it. But we are in touch with the fullness of the love of God. When he says, greater is he, man, you're in touch with the fullness of God. So there is no limit to what we can do. There's no limit. Remember what Jesus said? With all things. I'm talking about with God now. With God, all things are possible. What would you think he was talking about? Paying your rent? No. Fixing your car? No. So he says all things are possible. He's talking about your new creation that he did in you. And he says all things are possible to him, what? That believe it. Because you believe. Now you go ahead on and link that with Mark 9:23 that says these two verses together, and you'll see what blessing comes to the human race. But we cannot ask for his blessing with any degree of confidence unless we are assumed our righteousness. Because when you see assume your righteousness, which is your righteousness you got from Christ, you go and you make that stand.
Mm-hmm.
So you argue the point. And that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. You're going to argue the point that that's your right. Hey, officer, this is my house. Here's my paper. Okay, you got the right. Hey, you got to go. Or this is my car. Okay, you're right. This is your car. So you got that right. This is my child. You argue that point. When you go to the store, they say, sir, that bag you have? Wait a minute, sir. No, ma'am, this is my bag. Here's my receipt. This is my right. So, you know, some of these stores, they don't let you bring bags in anymore. They used to let you bring them in. They don't let you bring them in anymore. Because that's your right. You got the receipt. You got the right to carry that bag, just like if you got a gun on your side and you got a permit, that's your right. That's your Second Amendment. Yeah. Eh? That's your right. So you got a right to live. You got a right to exist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And but remember, we are spiritual, having human experience, and that's your right to do that. But anyway, mm-hmm. I thank you all for listening and joining in, and we'll see you all on tomorrow.